When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Live streaming provided by Alpha Geek Radio and Alpha Geek Video. Visit tunein.alphageekradio.com to learn more.
Finally, Friday is being brought to you this week by Major Spoilers VIP and Patreon members from around the world. Oh, if you love independent media and you want to support Major Spoilers, head over to patreon.com/majorspoilers. Sign up today and keep independent media going. That's what you need to do. Hi, everyone. It is Steven Schleicher. And so nice to be here with you today on this Friday. It's the Friday before Thanksgiving, the Friday before the holiday here in the United States. And man, I think this year's holiday get-togethers are going to be a little interesting, to say the least. I mean, we're just coming off of a hot political season, and I just have a feeling that people are just going to line up and just be ready to sling some hash, metaphorically and literally, in this year's family get-togethers. We've already had discussions with family members for our Thanksgiving, and we've basically said, hey, no turkey. Don't go through the trouble of making a turkey. Just make some food that we all like. We're all going to get together. We're all going to hang out. No need to stress about anything. Let's just get together and have some fun together. And I'm hoping that that is what happens with everyone else this year, although a lot of people are already drinking early, getting ready for next week, and we still got a week to go. It is finally Friday, though, and that means it's time for the live call-in show with me and you, the most important part of this show. And you can give me a call at any time by giving me a call at 785-727-1939 or on Skype at Steven_Schleicher. If you're listening on the audio and you're not watching the video feed, well, good luck spelling Schleicher. We've got Jarmo in the room. We've got James in the room. And I'm sure we'll get some other people to join in just a little bit. We can talk about anything that you want to talk about, comic book related, TV, pop culture, whatever it may be. But I wanted to point everyone to a couple of things. Oh, I think my mouse just died. No, there it's back. Thank goodness, because that would be horrible. I want to point you guys to a Munchkinland episode that I did several months ago. It wasn't several months ago. When was it? October 4th. So yeah, a month ago, almost a month and a half ago, called episode 194, Tornado Alley. And it's an interesting episode for a couple of reasons. One, it's talking about somebody's writing in about their project that they're doing for a game that they are developing and have some questions about that. It also introduces someone that you will hear some more from I don't know when. My guess is next year. That's kind of how far we are ahead on some of our shows. But the other thing about this, and I think I've talked about this before, is that this episode also features the entire conversation recorded in binaural audio. Now, I don't know if you know what binaural audio is. Things are really looking a little weird today, so sorry about that. But binaural audio is when you take a stereo microphone pair and you make them small enough to where they fit inside of a styrofoam head with ears and everything. And when you record with this stereo pair, it emulates and it recreates the sound that you will hear with your normal ear. So if you're, any kind of Doppler effect is reproduced exactly, and you get this really weird effect when you're hearing it back. And I found this, and I believe I've talked about this before, but I found this really inexpensive pair of binaural microphones on Amazon, and I've been monkeying around with these things. Some of you who are Patreon members had access to a binaural audio test that I did outside during a rainstorm, and so it feels like you are in that environment. It really creates a VR environment for your ears. And I went a little step further besides placing these microphones in just my ear, because, you know, if I'm going to be outside during a rainstorm or a thunderstorm or something like that, I want to be protected. So I just went the step further and 3D printed a pair of ears. Actually ended up having the university do it because I was having some problems with my 3D printer at the time. And so I printed some 3D ears and mounted them on a styrofoam head. You can see some of the pictures of some of the problems that I was having with the ears. But I just had the university print some 3D ears for me and stuck them onto a foam head and then mounted that onto a pole that was around the table that we were talking about. And this turned out quite well. So if you want to hear that, go and listen to Munchkin Land 194, titled Tornado Alley. And that was recorded entirely with this setup and this rig. In fact, in an upcoming show, I won't tell you which one, but in an upcoming show, you will hear something probably about six episodes worth that's entirely done in this binaural audio. And the reason why I did it, number one, is I'm always looking for ways to, just to test out new technology and to experiment and play with things. But I also think that it was, and at the time this would have been, this was before October, so this would have been mid-September, I believe. In mid-September, I went ahead and when I got these, I really thought that this will be something that will be kind of the next step for people who want to create immersive audio environments for their work, for their own productions. And sure enough, within a couple of weeks, probably around the same time that this Munchkinland episode went live, I've noticed that there are some drama podcasts. I guess that's what they're called, drama podcasts. You can't call them radio plays because they're not radio plays. But you know the kinds, like the We Live type and the Horror Stories podcast, those kinds of things. A couple of them have actually started doing stuff with binaural audio or binaural audio. And it sounds great, and it sounds fantastic, and then sure enough, that is where I thought that this was going, and I thought it would take a little bit longer, and that I might be on the edge of that. But some other people are already in that same boat as well. And if you are a Patreon member, if you're up the upper echelon, some of you may have received a link that I sent to you privately about that very same episode, because I did a little bit more than just record that with the binaural microphone setup that I have. I went ahead and also recorded it with this. And a lot of people, I've shared this over the last couple of weeks on social media and whatnot. Looks like a big old alien eyeball, right? And people have asked, what is this? What is that? What is this? This is the 360 Fly. And the 360 Fly is it's technically a 360 degree camera, but it's more like it's not a true 360 by 360 degree camera. It's more like a 360 by 720 degree camera. And it's cool because it does give you this total 360 degree experience with your video. That is really kind of neat. I mean, some of you may have, and especially those of you listening on Alpha Geek Media, Alpha Geek Radio and Video, you are probably familiar with Justin Robert Young and Brian Brushwood's piece that they did for Discovery Networks, where you can look around and you can see this environment that they're in as they're doing their different stuff. And it's really cool. It's very neat. They did that with, I believe, a bunch of GoPros strapped to a device, which I've also talked about on this show, one of the 360-degree camera rigs that I built a while ago. And it works great, but you have to have stitching software and all of that stuff. And I've been waiting for prices to come down on 360-degree cameras. And we are at this point now where there are several cameras now that are in the $500 range or less to do really cool 360-degree video with. And I dig them, and I like them a lot. So we were at one of my son's soccer tournaments, and we happened to go into a Best Buy, which is, I guess, the primary reseller of these things. I don't know. And on a whim, I picked up this 360 Fly. And it does. It is basically a giant, for those of you that are asking there in the chat, it is a giant fisheye lens. You know, years ago when I was doing more special effects work, if you were trying to capture an environment for your lighting or for your keying or anything like that, you would have to have a very expensive lens, you know, an 8mm lens, and a lot of time. But, you know, now some of these can do a high dynamic range or at least get multiple exposures off of a camera like this. And so you can do this for something that's sub $500, whereas an old 8mm lens that you would buy for your Canon or high-end digital SLR could cost you several thousands of dollars. So the price has come down quite a bit. I'm trying to go through my site to see if I have a picture of that rig that I built. And this was a couple of years ago that I built it. Here it is right here. Let's go over to this. Here is my 360-degree camera rig that I built on my 3D printer. And you put in six GoPro cameras and you have them all triggered off the same remote so that they all start and stop at the same time. And then you bring this into an application like Gigapan or something like that. And you are able to stitch it together into a 360-degree VR video that you can then upload to YouTube. And I know you've probably, some of you have probably seen this. If you haven't, I would encourage you to go and look on YouTube for YouTube 360-degree video or things like that. And what you can do is if you're on your desktop, you can click on the video with your mouse and you can drag around and you can look all over the place. But if you are on your mobile device, see if mine's still called up here. If you are on your, let's see, my videos, my channel. This is a kind of a hidden thing. It's there, but I mean you can find it. Oops. But if you hold it up on your mobile device, as you turn the camera around, you can look all the way around the room and you can tilt up and down and all those kinds of cool things. And this is all done with the 360 Fly. The problem is with the Fly 360 or the 360 Fly is that it only captures 720 degrees up and down. So it's basically if you invert this like this, it will capture everything below and up and around, but it basically stops about here. So depending on how you place this, if you were to look up in this environment, you would see either black or you would see a pinched sky or something like that. Or you could put it down low or, you know, put it wherever you want. But it's totally cool and it's totally neat. And so we recorded that episode of Munchkin Land, both using the binaural audio and this 360 degree camera. And the idea is if you merge them together, which I haven't done yet, but it would be simple to do. If you merge them together, you could be looking around and you'd be able to hear the audio off to your left and hear the audio off to your right and hear sounds that were coming from in front of you and all those kinds of places. And it's really, really cool, except, and a lot of people have asked me about this, especially Dr. Brad Will and D&D Brian and the rest. They're like, oh, does this do it to where when you turn your head, the audio follows? So the idea would be if you heard something behind you, right? If you turned your head, suddenly that audio would come around and be in front of you if you were looking at it. And unfortunately, binaural audio does not do this, right? You need, something else to be able to do 360-degree audio. And you, of course, the other thing, the hard thing and the tough thing is you also need the processing power and the applications to be able to process that. Let's see, what am I looking for here? To be able to do that. And of course, you also need to do, you can't use binaural audio. So here's a company, it's 3DIO. They sell these binaural microphones, which are really cool too. They do a really good job. But they have this thing called, is it the Omni? Yeah, so they have this Omni binaural microphone. It's about $3,000, right? But instead of just having two ears, it has eight ears all the way around it. And the idea is it is truly capturing audio from four directions at the same time, creating eight different tracks of audio for you. Left, right, you know, front, left, right, back, left, right, left, left, right, 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 left, right. And then the idea is when you put this into a software package that does that allows you to manipulate the virtual audio. Someone who is watching a VR video and they hear something off behind them, if it's been recorded with something like this, if they turn and look, that audio also pans with you. It's a little bit different than a 5.1 surround audio where you actually have someone physically mixing and saying, hey, this sound is coming from, you know, front left or front right or behind or subwoofer or whatever. This is actually you, the user, as you're turning, the audio is also panning with you in real time. And it's super, super cool. And so something that I'm dying to test, you know, there's all, and I'm just starting to get into this. There, I found some software that will allow me to go in and in applications like Premiere, which now does handle 3D video, 360 degree video. It will actually allow you to go in and mix and align everything so that when you upload it to YouTube or Google Jump or where any of those 3D VR services, the audio will pan with it. And it's very, very cool. Problem is, I don't want to spend $3,000 for a microphone headset like that. And I don't want to try to cobble together my own, even though it worked before, even though the binaural test I thought was very satisfactory. There is, and here's the cool thing. I'm giving away a lot of stuff today as far as things that I'm going to test and try out. The Zoom H2N has recently gotten a firmware update. And the Zoom H2N has actually got two different sets of microphones in it. It's got a XY stereo microphone, and it's got a minus, what is it, the MS microphone built in as well. But if you but with this new firmware that they've introduced, it can actually record spatial audio from 360 degrees all the way around, and then you can post-process this. I'm testing this out this weekend. I am so excited to test this out to see if I can get it to work, especially with all the software and other little bits of plugins that I have. So I'm going to be using these two things to test 360 degree video and audio to create kind of a more immersive experience. And this H2N is like $200. And if this works, $200, you know, that's a tenth of what that 3DIO microphone costs or more. So what do I want to do with this? This is my test. This is my plan. I'm getting this out there now. Trademark Steven Schleicher. It's not really trademark Steven Schleicher, because I'm sure someone is going to do this now in the next 2 months. I want to record an episode of Munchkin Land where we're sitting around playing a game like Smash Up, or we're playing a board game or a card game or something like that. And I want to mount the 360 Fly and the Zoom 2N together, and I want to create an episode where you can put on a pair of, where are my goggles at? Oh, you can put on a pair of like Google Cardboard goggles. You can put these on, and as you're turning around and looking, you can see, hey, Steven is on the left side, or Rob is on the left side, and Brad is on the right side. And not only can I see what they're doing, I can look down at the table, and every time, and I can hear all the audio around me of everyone talking, but then as I turn to look at Rob or Brian or whoever is sitting in on the show, that audio sounds like it's coming from the video, coming from their mouths, and not off to the left or off to the right. So I'm super excited about trying that out. And over the last day or so, I've been playing around with it, and it kind of works. It kind of works, but I'm going to do a full test this weekend outside and see how it goes. So that is kind of my nerdy moment that I wanted to share with you guys, because I think it's cool, and I think it's something that I think people will enjoy and people will check out. And again, some of the higher echelon people over at Patreon, patreon.com/majorspoilers, the $40 and up people, they have had a chance to listen to some of these recordings that we've done in binaural. And the biggest problem that I have with the binaural microphone, or really any kind of omnidirectional microphone or any microphone that is picking up sound from all over, is it really picks up sound from all over. So the biggest problem that we've had with that is that we were recording these when it was still hot, so the air conditioner is running in a couple of episodes, and trying to get rid of that noise is problematic. And any kind of echo in a large room, because we do play in a large room, translates into the audio. But I think the overall experience, and I think NATO is there in the channel. Excuse me. He's heard a couple of these and thinks it's pretty cool. And I hope you guys will think it's pretty cool, too. When we release it, my guess is sometime next year in 2017. We're kind of far ahead on a lot of our recordings. So that's also kind of a benefit as well. The LG 360 cam has three mics built in, and when you turn the audio, it follows. That's cool. I'm actually looking at that. Says that that's from James. Yeah, there's a couple of cameras that will do this, and I don't know how good the quality of those are, because the people that listen to the video that I posted of the 360 Fly, this also has some built-in microphones, but they are super tiny. Like, I don't even know if you can see it. That is right there above my finger. It's about the size of a pinhole, and that's one of the microphones on this camera. And they're not super great, and they get a lot of hiss, and they have a lot of system noise. Here's another one on this side. So that's why I'm looking at something like this, which has a better microphone system that may be able to capture it a lot better for the processing and post-processing work. So, yeah, the LG 360 cam is really good. The one that I am looking at is the Gyro. I put it down on my Christmas wish list in case someone wants to get it for me. It's the Gyroptic camera from the company Gyroptic, Gyroptic. It's about $500 for that camera. And I want to test it out. I want to see how it works. Let me do this really quick, and we will go to the phone lines. I have a feeling that, yep, that the thing reset itself. So there we go. Hi, who's this?
Hey, Steven, it's Nate. How are you doing,
hey,
sir?
Hey, Nate, how are you?
Good, good. Much better than last week.
Good. Are you ready for Thanksgiving? Are you ready for family dinners and family events and all that kind of stuff next week?
Yes. I do have to admit, though, that there's a pie company that's down here in South Florida that's been here probably longer than I've been alive. That makes the best pumpkin pie ever. So,
I don't know.
I'm sure people may dispute that, but if you like pumpkin pie, it's called the upper crust. It's the best.
It is the best, huh? Well, maybe I will. They probably don't sell it in stores, huh? Like, you can't get it other states?
They'll sell it locally. I don't know if they do ship. I mean, it is the 21st century, so I've never really figured it out or even thought about it. But my mom every year buys me an extra pumpkin pie to take home, so I'll be happy.
Okay. Is this from Festival Foods? Is that the name of the company?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
The company was, it's called The Upper Crust.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm looking at the wrong thing. The upper...
Yeah, and they're out of Lake Worth, Florida.
Wow, there's so many places called the Upper Crust. Here's one in Boston. Let me look up Florida. here it is. Found it. Thanksgiving week. Oh, they have all sorts of things that you can come in. Oh, they have mini pies, giant pies. This looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it's yummy. Doing much better. I did have a question for you.
Sure, go ahead.
So the dream stuff. I know you've talked about many, many times and stuff. So here's a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Dreamscaping, because this actually came on TV last weekend. It was the weirdest thing.
It's a pretty crazy. I had not seen this movie. Dreamscape came out, I want to say, in like 1984 or something like that. And so the idea is, and what Dreamscape is, the basis of the movie is that you can project yourself into someone else's dreams, and you can have interactions with these people, and you can do all sorts of things with these people. Yes, you can do sexual things. Yes, you can do healing things. And yes, the point of this movie is you can kill someone in their dreams if you're close enough. And so we end up with, who are the actors in this movie? I forget. What's his name? Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid, yes.
I want to say Kurt Russell, but that's not it. But yeah, it's Dennis Quaid, Max von Sydow, Eddie Albert, Kate Capshaw is in this, and it is a trippy freaking movie.
Yeah. So So do you think that is a possibility? Now, I know you believe, you know, you're going to alternate dimensions and different people and stuff. And actually, I had a dream a few months back that was, didn't realize it was a dream until I woke up, which was really weird. But I reacted like I was, like it was real.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's the first time I've actually done something like that. I've been able to, I have flown in my dreams, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, flying in dreams is cool, especially if you can control it.
Yeah, there's been times where like I've almost felt like the greatest American hero, where you know I'm taking the 1, 2, 3 and like falling.
Yeah,
and then flying. But this one was weird. It was a weird situation, and I kind of reacted like instinctively, and then I woke up like, whoa, that was cool. But do you think that dreamscaping is a possibility, reality, or cross-dimensional thing?
There's actually a lot of research out there about group dreaming or mutual shared dreaming, and a lot more of this came up to the forefront with when Inception, the movie, came out, because that's really about group dreaming and entering someone else's thoughts and entering someone else's reality through the dreamscape. And there are a lot of books. I just was doing a really quick search, and this one popped up. It's called Group Dreaming, Dreams to the 10th Power by Jean Campbell, or Jean Campbell. I don't know. It could be French. But it talks about how is this done? How is it possible? Right now, we don't have any. I mean, we do hear stories. And again, if you listen to shows back in the day with Art Bell, Coast to Coast AM, and that kind of stuff, they would have people on all the time that would talk about shared dreaming and how you can do it. And it is part of the lucid dreaming experience. However, we do have stories of people that are like, hey, I met my wife in my dream and we did these kinds of things and we woke up and we both remembered it or remembered parts of it. But we've never had anyone who, we don't have any stories or we don't have any evidence of someone that says, oh, I had a dream where I punched this person that I was sharing a dream with in the eye, and then that person woke up with a black eye. And most definitely, we don't have any firsthand accounts of someone saying, I was dreaming someone came into my dream that I know and killed me, and then I was dead. So we don't have those kinds of things. So Dreamscape is really freaky from a movie perspective, because it is, it is about going in and trying to kill someone in their dreams. But I don't know. I've never experienced a group dream with anyone, so I don't know about that. Or maybe I have, and I just haven't shared those dreams with other people for them to go, yes, I was there with you. You know, it's nothing like that. I think you really have to be in a true lucid dreaming state to share that dream or to share that dream experience.
Right, because then that also goes into that whole realm of, in order to actually make that a reality, we're actually part of a computer program.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that goes in a weird realm too. So
yeah, if you go and do the work, I mean, you can just do a search, are we a computer program or something like that. And again, there is, oddly enough, there is mounting evidence that suggests we are indeed inside of a computer construct. Scientists have started to postulate this more and more, and they think they're getting close to proving this. So that is where it gets into some really weird territory, where you think that scientists would be like, ah, no, this is total science fiction. There's no way that we're inside a computer construct. And then you've got a few scientists, especially in the last 3 or 4 years, that are, you know, legit scientists, legit researchers, that are like, yeah, there's starting to mount some evidence that we are inside of a computer program.
Either that, or there's underlining code to the universe that they're cracking,
and that might be it.
More likely.
That might be it too, which is kind of interesting, because, you know, Star Trek kind of talks about this in a few episodes, like, why are all the people we encountered bipedal humanoid types? And they talk about, at one point, there was this seeding of all these different planets around the universe by, you know, a genetic host. And then that's how we have a common language. That's how we have a common look, even though there are variations and differences in us, and why we are not interacting with, like, a squid, for example. So that's being touched on in Star Trek and science fiction for a while as well.
Yeah. But the last thing is my wife actually got Wife of the Year this year.
Oh, so she did.
So every year, Disney does this whole thing called the Candlelight Procession in Epcot. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, there's all these singers, and this, they make a big Christmas tree, and they sing carols and stuff. And then someone comes out and does the story of Christmas. So basically, Jesus, you know, Mary, and everyone like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we had some, the guy that actually voiced the Beast in Beauty and the Beast, in the Robbie original Benson. Animated series,
mm-hmm.
yeah, he was going to do it. And then my wife somehow did something, and we are actually going to see Anthony Mackie read
oh, cool.
the Christmas story.
Oh, that's cool.
So I was like, so neat. And I told my wife, I'm like, I swear to God, he breaks out the wings and flies away, I'll lose it.
That sounds really cool. How did she, and you don't know how she was able to nail these?
Oh, well, we already had like reservations, and it
oh, okay.
was, they always have people announce it. Like Neil Patrick Harris does it every year.
Mm-hmm.
A whole bunch of people. I think one year we saw, I can't remember his name. I'm so bad with names. I need to get better at this, but the, father from Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
She saw him do it. But yeah, she just, they just announced new dates and we already had reservations. So she just re-switched it and they're like, okay, yeah, you're all set. I'm like, ugh.
Neat. When is that? That's this weekend?
No, it's December 9th.
Oh, okay.
We're actually going out. I think it's 8th or 9th. Oh, yeah, the 9th. Yeah, his is on the 9th.
Very cool.
So, yeah, it's really cool. So we have, like, dinner, and then we have priority seating, so we actually get to sit, like, in the first, like, 10 rows or something.
Ah, neat.
But we'll be really, really close to get to see him, so.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. It's really neat, because the singers, it's outside, so it's like a little amphitheater.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it's in America, and the big amphitheater in America in Epcot, and they just kind of walk down the middle of the aisle, and they all come up, and it's this big, huge Christmas tree, and then he comes out and stands in front of it and just reads the story, and they all do, like, you know, singing and all kinds of carols and things, and then it's done. But it's really, really neat. We've done it a couple of times. But I'm really excited for this one. So
it has been forever since I've been to Disney World. I think the last time I was there was probably 96, I think, winter of 96. And I haven't been back. I mean, I mean, I've been to Disneyland and I've, you know, I used to spend some Christmases 2000, 2001, 2002. I would fly back to California and spend my Christmas break there and just go to Disneyland on Christmas Day and stuff. But they didn't have anything cool like what this is. So.
Cool. What's really neat too is Epcot, especially during Christmas time, when you go around the World Showcase, each one of them does their version of, you know, whatever the Christmas season is and stuff.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
Canada does something different. Morocco does their whole thing with I think it's Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
Norway, their whole Santa Claus, and he's, you know, with the big stick and everything.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's really neat to see the different cultures, how they celebrate the holiday and then do this too. Plus there's supposedly some new Star Wars stuff there too.
Oh yeah.
I
heard that they're doing a lot of reconstruction there right now. So
yeah. So hopefully we get to see some new of that stuff. And then I want to see what they're supposed to be almost done with the whole, in the Animal Kingdom, the whole Avatar thing too. So.
Oh, neat. Yeah, man, we got to get back there. My parents want us to go do a whole family trip down there for the kids and the grandparents can go and have the experience with their grandkids and all that kind of stuff. But it's like, okay, first of all, even though one of them is 9, he's still too short to ride 90% of the rides. Because he just falls into that weird, you know, he's a small kid. So there's like no way that he can ride any of your rides. And the other one is also too small to ride any of the rides. So it's like, yeah, they might be able to go on the Haunted Mansion. They might be able to go on It's a Small World, but they're not going to be able to go on to Splash Mountain. They're not going to be able to go into Space Mountain. And so a lot of that might be wasted on them. And then unfortunately, to, you know, the cost of a Disney vacation for a week is for a group of 6 or more, you know, it's like $5,000 to do that. And it's like, who's got that kind of money anymore to just do that? So we're waiting.
Yeah, that's why they bill me monthly for mine. So.
Yeah. I mean,
they
don't know if you stay on the resorts or not, but the resorts are just as expensive.
Yeah, on we haven't stayed on resorts, but we're able to find, there's a couple of semi on property resorts that partner with the Disney.
Yeah.
And they have their own busing system, and there's this one Hilton that's perfect. They actually have movie rentals and stuff, and my wife normally get really good deals with them. So it's technically you're not really on Disney property, but the extra magic hours, which is they open up like an hour before and an hour, or stay open like 2 hours later. So that way you can actually, if you're staying at a specific hotel or a resort hotel, you actually get more time at the parks.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I actually worked at, and I've said this before, but I actually worked at Epcot Center back in, so it would have been probably 90, I want to say. 90 or 91.
Pretty much when, close to when it opened.
Yeah, the and this is the reason why I ended up working there is because they were, the main thing was that they were hiring these kids from all over the world to come in and work in the different country pavilions there at Epcot. And they were just just looking for an opportunity for kids to come and work during the summer and take some courses through this Disney University program that they had. And me and a couple of friends at the time were able to get in. It's like the first time our university had ever had any kids participate. So they ended up working at Disneyland and MGM Studios. And I ended up at Epcot working at the one of the restaurants right at the bottom of the big ball. And it was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed doing that. And it was cool to be able to get free park access and everything. And we lived in these really nice apartment buildings that they had put up for the kids. So we had, you know, imagine a bunch of 18 to 25 year olds essentially running around unattended for an entire summer. And they had giant tents set up where, hey, if you wanted to have an impromptu kegger, go right ahead. And they had, you know, they had some police force people there to maintain security, but it got kind of wild and crazy, but it was a fun time and I enjoyed that experience a lot. But yeah, it was at the time the only place that served alcohol in the pavilions was, I believe, England was the only one that did it at the time in the English pub. What is it, the Fox and Hound or whatever it is?
Yeah, I believe that, either that or Germany.
Well, it was, well, Germany may have had it, but the only place for sure where you could go into an English pub and order beer was the English pavilion, and all the rest you can't. But I understand now you can go to any of them and try alcoholic beverages from around the world, and you can even
right now they actually have the food and wine festival going on. So they have different cultural foods and beverages of, you know, alcoholic and non-alcoholic venue, and then they sprout up little kiosks in between the countries for, you know, like Key West. So then you'll have like lobster and, some weird cocktail from down there. Or like, you know, like a hurricane drink or something.
Yeah. Yeah. But those kind of things definitely weren't there.
Yeah, no, this, I mean, it's insane now, but I believe Epcot's probably it's that mix of culture and worldliness with sci-fi and space. So
yeah.
It's probably the one of the coolest parks that they have. Plus Magic Kingdom. I mean, nothing against little kids, but man, it's just so packed and so crazy.
And the other thing,
everyone
is,
wants to go to Magic Kingdom.
I know, and that's definitely, I would love to, I mean, I want to take my kids to Magic Kingdom, and that's the reason why I said you know, like $5,000, because if you did you'd have to do a week long vacation, and you'd have to spend like 2 days in each of the park: 2 days at the Magic Kingdom, 2 days at Epcot, 2 days at Animal Kingdom, 2 days at, what's the other one? Is there another one? Oh, the MGM Studios or whatever that they're called.
Hollywood Studios. Well, Hollywood Studios. Okay. So Hollywood Studios definitely can be done in a day.
Yeah. And back when I was there, it was a day trip as well.
Yeah. And Epcot, you can probably get through a long day there as well. Animal Kingdom. No way. That you can actually fit all of the other three parks inside Animal Kingdom and still have room. So Animal Kingdom is pretty big.
And that's like a two-day, three-day excursion.
Exactly. And then Magic Kingdom, depending on what you want to do. But yeah, Magic Kingdom is definitely like a two-day.
Well, but see, you know, that's the other thing too, is the lines are so long. It's like, okay, the Jungle Cruise is a 10-minute ride, something like that. But you end up having to spend an hour and a half in line, even with the Fast Pass. sometimes you're still waiting a half hour or longer to do that. And it's like,
and you can only do three rides, right? You can only do three rides. You can't do the whole day up. They're working on different things like that too.
Yeah.
But the thing is too, is the best times actually to go is during the week, but is actually in the beginning of October. But of course, at that time, you know, kids are still in school, there's testings going on, and it's just, it's really, really tough. So we try to do little day trips here and there and stuff, but then again, that's a benefit of being only 2.5 hours away from it.
Yes,
so.
Summer is definitely a stay away from that area time. And surprisingly, and people don't understand this, literally Christmas, you'd think, oh, middle of winter, who's going to go to either Disneyland or Disney World? Everybody goes to Disneyland or Disney World, and it is packed. And the times that I would go to Disneyland, I would get there, you know, an hour before the park opens, and there would already be a massive amount of people there. And by the time I would get in, they were just about to reach capacity just after that hour's worth of people that were there ahead of me.
Yeah. After this week, forget it. I wouldn't go up there. Even if you pay me. Yeah. The weather's certain stuff, but the crowds are so nuts.
So you think October, what about like mid-January or February?
I remember I when the events, I want to say mid-February is good too, just because school's out, everything, you know, school's back in session, after the holidays and stuff like that. But there was like two distinct periods where, like, if you go during the week, you're basically jumping on every ride, no waits, anything like that. Mm-hmm. Plus, if you ever wanted to do something, it's actually, you know, double money or whatever, but they actually have this thing called the Very Merry Christmas Party.
Mm-hmm.
So for 4 hours, the Magic Kingdom's only open for a select group.
Oh, that's cool.
Of people.
Yeah.
You have to buy a special ticket. They have cookies and hot chocolate. They have special parades and all this other stuff. But there's barely no one on there in there. We did it a few years ago with the kids, and we went on Big Thunder Mountain like twice in a row. We didn't even get off.
Cool.
The guy just let us stay on, and we went again because there was no one waiting.
Yeah.
I think he got in trouble for it, but we were like, woo.
No, that sounds cool. Yeah. We're going to have to definitely keep that in mind, because I have a feeling come Christmas time, I'm going to hear this conversation from my parents again as, oh, we need to do this family trip. And I think my sister is not doing it because, you know, they keep having kids. Their youngest, I think he's two now. And so it's like, well, we got to wait a few years. But by then, you know, the oldest kid is the same age as about a year younger than my oldest son. So, you know, those kids are going to be pushing like 13, 14. And it's like, that's when you get to the age of, mom, I don't want to go do this kid stuff. So
I want to say 42 inches is pretty much the minimum for most of the stuff.
Yeah,
like Magic Kingdom. Yeah, your kids would probably be perfect on pretty much everything that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Space Mountain's not too bad.
I don't know if they would go. I don't know if they'd do Space Mountain. I think they would freak out too much. That's the only thing.
I don't do it just because I need a chiropractor when I'm done with it.
Yeah, the last time I rode it, I was kind of the same way. I was like, I came out going, that wasn't fun.
It's not as smooth as I once thought it was.
Yeah.
The one really cool one in Epcot is Test Track now, because
that's the Cars thing.
No, it's not Cars. It's actually it's a car one. It was, I think it was done by Chevy, and I think General Motors.
Oh, GM did it
or whatever.
GM did it for a long time. Yeah. That was a fun ride. That one was cool. I enjoyed. That was the one where you had the giant. You got to pick your destination, and then you went through like a 360 dome or something, and they projected you going underwater or flying over the land or something like that.
Oh, no, that was Horizons.
Oh, okay.
I know what you're talking about. But this one is basically, it's all, you know, engines and cars other stuff. Just right. But before, it used to be, you were a test dummy, right? You were a test dummy, and you would, you know, oh, no, you're going to hit the wall, and you go through. Well, this one, what you do is you spend about 5 minutes designing a car.
Oh, cool.
Wheels, engine, spoilers, how big it is, what type of engine, blah, blah, blah. And then what they do is you basically test drive your design.
Oh, interesting.
And you go out and you go about, I want to say 60 miles an hour outside with like the roof down, and you're flying around you go flying around and do all the stuff. Then at the end of the game, at the end, you see how good your car compared to everyone else's.
Oh, that's interesting.
And you can actually take your card, and then have little games, little VR games, and you hit it, and then you can actually drive your car and play with it with other people.
Oh, neat. Oh, that sounds cool. Yeah, there's so many cool things at Epcot. Back in the day, that was the park when I was there, that was kind of the park to avoid because everyone wanted to go to MGM, Disney MGM, and the main Magic Kingdom. And it's like there would be times where you'd have a rush in the morning, but for the rest of the day, it was dead at the park.
Right.
So I'm glad that's turned around. Now, the one thing that I miss the most, and if I ever win the lottery, this is hand on the Bible, swear up and down, I will build my own Adventurers Club based on the one that used to be at Pleasure Island down there.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That was the best place in the world. And if people don't know what the Adventurers Club is, go look it up online because there's been all these people that have been collecting bits and pieces of it and telling its story and capturing photos and everything. It was a fantastic, essentially, bar, but with so many interactive things going on. I will recreate that with my with my lottery millions if I ever win that. And everyone will be invited.
Yay.
Anything else, Nate?
Nope, that's it, sir. You have a good weekend.
Yep, have a great holiday. We won't be here next week because of the Thanksgiving holiday, but you take care and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir.
All right, bye. Yeah, so just in case, as always, next week we take a lot of things off next week, so we won't be doing a dueling review next week. We probably won't have Flashback next week. But we will do a Flashback episode for next week's Flash episode. There won't be a Critical Hit next week, but we will have the Major Spoilers podcast. We will have Munchkin Land. There will be Zach on Film. I better double check and find out. I got to find out what is the Munchkin Land next week. Man, I hope it's not our long video episode because I have not even started. I have not even started editing that one, and it is a... It's going to be a brutal edit. Let's see. Munchkin Land. Uh-oh. Oh, no. Next week is going to be an easy one. So, yeah. Got a little bit of time on that one. So, what can you do without just the rest is, no, what will I do without Dueling Review and Critical Hit? Well, here's what you can do. Go check out some of our other podcasts in the Major Spoilers Podcast Network. We have so many of them. And you might find something new that you like if you're not already listening to all of them. But we've got the Major Spoilers podcast, obviously. We have Munchkin Land. That's, I think, a lot of fun. We have Top 5 and the Wayne's Comics podcast. So go check some of those out if you are not already listening to them. As far as No Critical Hit, I think we've been doing this for 6-7 years now. And I think every Thanksgiving we have not done a podcast release because we are all doing things with our families. But I do believe, and those of you who check in on my live Periscope things that I do later Friday nights, like around 8 o'clock Central Time, 8:30, I will tell you some information about the upcoming episodes and what's going on as I clean up the audio for those files. I'm pretty sure the one after Thanksgiving will make up for not having a Thanksgiving episode. If my memory serves me correctly. So there we go. Well, good, Jess. I figured you did, Jess, that you listen to all of the shows. I knew you did. But, you know, there's so many other people out there who don't. You'd be surprised that there's a number of people who are listening right now to this show who are not listening to all of the other shows that we produce in the Major Spoilers Podcast Network. So definitely go and check them out. Here is Matthew. Matthew, how are you today?
I'm doing good.
Good. A lot of big gaming news in the last couple of days. The one that I particularly excited about is the new Munchkin X-Men edition, Marvel Munchkin X-Men edition from USAopoly that's coming out in the spring. Can't wait for that. But there's also a lot of other cool things going on.
Yeah, in the next week, everybody, you need to keep an eye out for Black Friday sales and different things. Fantasy Flight is having a holiday sale right now. If you go to their website, you can pick up a lot of the old stuff. Warhammer, LCG, both the Fantasy one, which is kind of, that one's pretty old, and then Conquest.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that's the stuff that won't be around anymore since Fantasy Flight and Games Workshop. Who do the Warhammer stuff? Where he's going to split? There will be a lot of good stuff good stuff coming up from different publishers to check out.
Yeah, definitely. Is there something you're looking forward to? I think Dr. Brad Will said he got the new CCG, the Cthulhu CCG game. And
that
says
one
he's,
I'm
he's
a little interested
that.
In.
Yeah.
The Arkham Horror Arkham. LCG. Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's it.
I'm pretty big into the Game of Thrones second edition LCG, which is pretty good. I like that because it's multiplayer.
Cool.
It's competitive, but mm-hmm. they're nice. The Lord of the Rings.
Oh, neat.
I think is similar where it's cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the idea of the mechanics of how the Arkham Horror one. It sounds like they kind of took the Lord of the Rings one
mm-hmm.
and
but it's
made it the mechanics of it work a little easier.
But it's supposed to be better than the Call of Cthulhu CCG, right?
That one was competitive,
I believe. Oh, yeah, and this one is cooperative?
Cooperative.
Okay.
Which would make more sense, I think, at least as far as the story. Like, you would have... I'm not like super familiar with the Lovecraft stuff, but it seems like the investigators are all kind of on the same team.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool.
I mean, unless there's a story where they're not, I guess, but like,
yeah.
Their mind messed with or whatever. But
cool. How did your Extra Life event go this year?
Oh, that was great. I had two cameras set up, and one of them was streaming, and I think I caught most of it, but somehow I lost the feed. I don't know where it all went.
Oh, so it's
so
somewhere.
I don't know what happened to that. YouTube is still a little goofy for me, but I got a second one. I'm putting it into 8-hour chunks.
Oh, wow.
So that it'll load up a little easier. You don't have to watch 24 hours and scrub through that to find anything particular. But there's a D&D session that's on there from a guy who runs pretty good D&D game.
Mm-hmm.
Some other games I know that are Terra Mystica, I think, is played on that one.
Oh, cool.
Some other games. So people could like check that out and like see a live play of some pretty cool games.
Yeah, neat.
We played a bunch of the Harry Potter deck builder game. I don't know if you got a chance to play that one.
No, I have not.
That one is really good. It's real simple to pick up at the beginning. In fact, game one is you play through the book. So game one or year one or corner, however, is pretty simple, and you kind of just get the basics of things, and then if you win, then you proceed, and then you open up the next box.
Oh, cool!
And it has new cards that you add to the existing setup
and different
rules, and so you don't have very many cards, but then as you go along, you get there's more villains, there's more cards to buy, upgrades for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Different bits that you get to mess around with.
What do you think would be the must-have games for people to get? Let's say that they like cooperative games. What would be like two of the best games for people to pick up this holiday season?
That would be probably one of them, just because it's cooperative. So
okay.
Everybody's, you know, you're taking one of the four iconic, you know, Ron.
Yeah.
Harry, Hermione, and then Neville
is
the other one, who's actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That one is good because even if you aren't, we were playing with a bunch of grown-ups, you know, but we all watched the movies, read the books, so it was familiar subject matter to us.
Yeah.
Cooperatively.
Mm-hmm.
Pandemic Legacy is good if you can get a group that's always together. Mechs versus Minions is really fun.
Yeah, I'm still, I could have swore that I ordered that game, but I don't have it yet. So it has not,
arrived. Did you get in on Wave 2, maybe?
Maybe that's what I got in on. I know it was on the same day or the next day of that big sale that they had when it first went up. I managed to get in
pretty early. I actually, because they numbered the first wave.
Oh, okay. Then maybe I'm on Wave 2.
Because the wave one was, I ended up with copy 4,000 something out of 30,000. So I got a really low number.
Wow. Well, 4,000, yeah. That's still 4,000.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, I would agree with you on the pandemic legacy. In fact, we're going to be starting that on Monday and recording that for Munchkinland. So that will be a lot of fun. And we plan on doing the entire year's worth of stuff. And so we will have a minimum of 12 games to a maximum of 24 games, I suppose. Or 16 or whatever happens after you lose four in a row. I don't know what happens then, but don't tell me because that's a spoiler.
We didn't have that happen. I mean, we opened up the box anyway, because once you're done, you just everything open and you start digging through stuff. I think we did 17 games.
17, okay.
In ours. So okay. some it gets a, it's kind of fun with it, you know, it just adds. So here's this, you know, you do your win losses, upgrades and different things. It tells you what to do and all the cards you get to open in little boxes and things.
Yeah, I can't wait to do this.
That one's pretty good.
Yeah, I can't wait to do this. This will be fun. And we'll go as far as we can. And I think we're going to try to do 2 months, providing that we don't lose, 2 months on Monday, and then try to do 2 months or a month and a makeup month, two games every Monday between now and the end of the year. And I think we'll be able to do it. I know it's 8 weeks, but that's like 16 games. I think we'll be able to do it.
That should probably be all right.
Yeah.
I think because if you have the same people, then you kind of know. We had some people because that one's cooperative. So somebody could come in and like take my spot if I didn't show up. So
sure.
That also makes it a little easier, you know, for people who might not necessarily have a constant gaming group. You could have, oh, well, you know, if you played a couple, two or three games, then that would help move the story along. I think Time Stories would probably be good for a cooperative type game, too.
Stories.
Any of the storytelling ones are probably going to be good.
Yeah.
Those might be a full advanced gamers, like a newer gamer. There's all kinds of games.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all kind of games that are probably a little less intensive, because some of those games require a lot of, like, you kind of have to know what you're getting into.
Well, like
you get scared away.
The other one that people are wanting us to play is Seafall, and that one looks like a lot of fun, but man, it has a big commitment to it.
That one I've heard mixed reviews on, now that the kind of dust has settled and some people are starting to, well, we've played it a few times, and I think Tom Vassell and his group just stepped away from it.
Yeah, I think I saw them start to play it, and then, I don't know, I'm kind of picky about when I watch stuff. Some of the stuff I can put up with, and sometimes if it gets too chaotic to where no one's explaining what's going on or what they're doing, and there's several people all talking at the same time, I'll, like, turn it off. And I think it was during their play of either Pandemic or Seafall, I was like, oh, nope, sorry, checking out, sorry. Not that they do anything wrong, it's just that it was too chaotic for me to try to watch and enjoy.
Yeah, live play without any kind of, like, if they don't know and they're not set up to, like, know that there's an audience and to address the audience occasionally.
Yeah.
Like, in Munchkin Land, you make point to read the cards out. So everybody, you know, even if it's audio version, you still know what the cards do because every one of them is read out. So you address the audience as if, you know, make sure that we're not lost.
Right. Exactly. Cool.
But Seafall is competitive. And so if you can't just drop in and drop out. And if you miss somebody.
Yeah, I think it's set up where someone can miss four games before they're totally out of the game, because there's some catch-up mechanics for up to four times or three times or something like that. But that's a concern if you are going to have someone step away for a while, or you're not able to get together again, and then you have to remember where everything was. I don't know. It's an interesting game. I would like to play it, but I don't know if I can make that much of a huge commitment to it right now.
Yeah, there's just, like, I have so many other games that are just, I'm able to get into them. I can get in, get out, play them a bunch of times, get people involved in them, and it's just easier to kind of schedule around than it is for one game that has so much restrictions and, like, oh, well, I have to do this or I have to do that, or this would make it easier, or that's kind of something I have to watch out for.
Yep. Anything else, Matthew? Because we are just about out of time this week.
Oh, no, I missed out on last week. I had meant to. I took took time off. I was doing the Veterans Day thing. So
that was fun. Well, good. I'm glad that you were able to take part of that. And thank you so much for giving us a call this week.
Sure.
All right. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Bye. So there we go. We get some people calling in. We get to have some long chats. Nate calls in and we can talk for almost an hour. I think Nate does not want me to play Elder Sign Omens on this show because it is because it's really a lot of fun and you guys are missing out. Thanks, Nate. No, actually, thank you, Nate, for calling in. Thank you, Matthew, for calling in. Thank you for everyone in the chat. I know, Jarmo, you tried to call in this week. Sorry about that. No, King's Quest has nothing to do with the 90s computer adventure game. And actually, I think that's not the 90s computer adventure game you're thinking of, or at least I'm thinking of, the 80s computer game. Yes. Some of you got freaked out by the Dream Talk. That's okay, because Dream Talk is cool. Let's see, some Final Destination talk. There you go. Yeah, we do like to have a little time off and let everybody have some time with their families and friends. So next week we won't have a Finally Friday. Do look for me though on Periscope. I might do something Friday on Periscope. Just depends on how things are going and the things that I'm doing. But if you are in the United States, have a great weekend. Do take some time off. Spend some time with family and friends. Be kind to one another. That's the most important thing about this holiday season. Let's be super kind to as many people as we possibly can. We're off next week. We'll be back the week after when it's Finally Friday. Take care, everyone. I love you, and we will talk soon.